Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. This is Jim Masters. A pleasure to have you here. Also a pleasure to continue our extraordinary and exclusive series with Dr. Michael Armour. Michael Armour holds a PhD from UCLA, as well as many other degrees, and he's achieved impressive strides in diverse fields that have included education and nonprofit administration, ministry in the U.S. Navy, too, and he later founded the consulting company that speaks to his decades of leadership accomplishments, Strategic Leadership Development International. It's an incredible company. As an executive coach, business strategist, and keynote speaker, there are a few subjects that he has yet to broach. Dr. Mike, as he is affectionately known, has coached close to 1,000 executives and entrepreneurs. He's consulted with corporate leaders and individuals in nearly every business, industry, and geographic corner, and he has shared his insights in numerous venues, such as training sessions, conferences, face-to-face discussions, public addresses, as well as articles, and even a best-selling book, Leadership and the Power of Trust. Over the past 5 years, Dr. Mike has taken to podcasts to spread his message about career and managerial success. And with his notable background, Dr. Mike realizes more than most that highly successful people never tackle the biggest projects or issues alone. They thrive on the support, ideas, and feedback of people at the same career, emotional, and personal level. That is why they seek out others at conferences, networking events, increasing nowadays in mastermind groups. This ensures that as one ascends the ladder, it is not a solo expedition. Dr. Mike has also served as the facilitator of such mastermind groups in the past and may be launching another one in the near future, so be sure to listen and learn as well as you decide if you have what it takes to be part of those powerful initiatives. It's my pleasure to welcome him live and direct from Dallas, Texas, Dr. Mike Armour. Dr. Mike, welcome back to Close Up Radio. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
And it's always a great joy to be with you. Good to visit with you again, Jim.
You as well. And today we're going to be talking about something quite special, which is how mastermind groups actually function. In the last week, you explained the basic idea behind a mastermind group. Tell us again how these groups got started.
Well, they really began in ancient times, because if you go back and study the history of the great empires, even the most powerful rulers recognized that they didn't have all the information within their mind that they needed to make the right decisions to keep themselves in power or to achieve what their objectives were. So they were always surrounded with a group of counselors. These were not people with authority in the sense of a minister or someone who we would think of as the secretary of a department in Washington. These were just wise people or insightful people or technically knowledgeable people who could advise him, and they would meet as a council. These were often called councils. The mastermind is something of the same thing. It is a gathering of peers who are gathered to solve a particular issue or to help one another resolve an issue. And as they are constituted today, they really began in the early part of the 20th century, particularly around the time of the Second World War. They were no longer an advisory council for a ruler or even for a business leader or entrepreneur. They were a coming together of peers who were all tackling similar challenges in their life, in their business, in some enterprise that they were undertaking individually, and they knew that they needed more counsel than they had at their disposal within their own organization. And so they then would be part of a group of people who would pool their thinking in a way that not only provided advice to someone asking questions, but enlarged the thinking of everyone in the group as to how they should be going about the challenge that was under discussion. Napoleon Hill wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich that began to be widely read in the 1940s. And in it, he called these kinds of groups mastermind groups. The idea being that the joint thinking, the pooled thinking of the group would create a mind that was bigger than any one of them. And really, because of the synergy that was created in that kind of dialogue, it was a mind that was bigger than simply the sum of these parts. It was as though a mastermind was there that everyone could tap into. Because his book continues to be read today as one of the most popular texts in how to build a successful career or to build a successful company, mastermind groups have continued to grow in popularity. And they are therefore something that we find by the scores in every major city in the United States, working with problems of every conceivable fashion that you might think of.
That's fantastic. You know, it's really something when you have an opportunity to be a part of a mastermind group because you really learn so much. Are mastermind groups just for high-level managers, entrepreneurs, and business owners?
No, as a matter of fact, they are not. Now, I will say that those people who are in high levels of management, those who are entrepreneurs and business owners, are among the people that are most likely to be part of a mastermind group. And it's because they are dealing with things of such complexity that they are looking for informed and wise counsel wherever they can tap into it. And many mastermind groups are rather expensive to be part of. And so, again, their resources allow them to be in that kind of setting. But I happen to be in two or three mastermind groups myself right now as a member of the group that are dealing with such things as how do I take my small business and market it more effectively? And the facilitator of that group plans each session around some topic related to this fundamental challenge. And then in the course of the day of discussion, and it may be a full day. Some mastermind groups meet for a complete day. Most meet for 90 minutes or an hour, maybe 2 hours, but typically I would say 90 minutes to 2 hours is what you would find most common. And the theme that has been laid out is the primary focus that they have for that discussion. Now, they may take up other topics that have a pressing concern for one or more people in the group, but each meeting, the individuals know that they're going to go away with some fresh insights or challenges to some things they've always thought about the particular topic or concern that brings this group together to form this mastermind group.
Mm. That's really fascinating on many levels. Would you say mastermind groups have a specific structure? How are they actually organized, Dr. Mike?
They are organized, as I said, as a group of peers. The qualifications to get into a mastermind group are established by the facilitator, and in order to be accepted into the group, you have to be somewhat at the same level of your career or at the same level of your professional development as the others in the group. Because remember, the whole purpose of these mastermind groups is to learn from one another and to encourage one another, and even at times to partner with one another. The whole effort is therefore assuming that everyone in the room is somewhat equal in terms of the experience they have in the industry, the experience they have as an entrepreneur or as an executive. These groups don't work very well if there's tremendous inequity from one person to the next in terms of their experience or their professional know-how. It is a peer-to-peer group. And so they are then organized in typically from 4 to 12, maybe 15 member groups. I'm in some that are a little bit larger than that right now. But the typical size is 4 to a dozen and a half at most. And one reason for that is because usually mastermind groups are structured so that in the course of the meeting, one of the members will be put in what's called the hot seat. And the hot seat is a situation in which they are either invited to or challenged to share a particular issue that they are confronting in their responsibilities at present and to describe how they are going about tackling that issue. Then everyone else asks questions to determine whether or not this person has really thought through the implications of their strategy, their tactics properly, or whether there are some questions this person needs to have asked that he or she has not yet asked, or to determine where this person feels confident about the direction they're taking and where they are not quite so confident as they need to be. It's called a hot seat for a purpose, but it is a tremendous learning experience. Where else can you go on a regular basis and have people who are as knowledgeable of your type of business or your level of responsibilities as these peers are, and get them to help you think through in greater detail, in greater clarity, and in a fuller way the actions that you are taking on something that's vital to you or crucial to your business. So the hot seat is a very standard part of these groups. One of the reasons some groups meet all day long is that the hot seat rotates around the room. Every 30 minutes, another person is in the hot seat, and everybody has to sit in the hot seat before the day is over. So if you have a dozen people in the group and have any breaks for lunch or just to stretch legs, it's going to take a full day for that group to complete its tasks. I've known some very successful groups of only 4 people that had a great, strong relationship. And so the size is not a determinant of whether these can be effective, but size is a determinant of how much time we have in a meeting for everyone to take away the maximum benefit that they could derive from having their most pressing concerns addressed thoroughly by the group.
Who arranges a mastermind group? How does it actually get started?
Well, I used the term facilitator a while ago. These groups, although there is an educational component to them, there is sometimes a training component, they are not primarily an educational forum. So you shouldn't think of this as a trainer who's bringing together a special class. It is a facilitator, and that word facilitate is based on the old Latin term fossil, which means simple or easy. And so the purpose of the facilitator is to make it easy for this group to accomplish its purpose. Now, the facilitator is going to be the person who sets the agenda in dialogue with the rest of the group, perhaps, and sets the meeting dates again in consultation with the group. The facilitator is the person who's sure that all the necessary details behind the scene are taken care of. And usually these groups start when someone says, I would like to facilitate a group. And they define what this group would address and then begin publicizing with their friends and colleagues and through their networks that this group is being formed and what is going to be required of someone to join. It's more or less the business plan that they lay out as to this is what we want to do, these are the kinds of people we need. And the facilitator then determines what the size of the group should be and determines how long the group will continue to meet, how long the individual meetings will be. So that's really the way this typically gets started. Now, I mentioned a moment ago groups of four. One of the most successful groups I've ever known, three of my friends were three of the four people who were in it. The three of them had met in college. They had been friends in school. They all were entrepreneurs in completely different businesses. But they then teamed up with a fourth person whom they had individually met at times, who was himself an entrepreneur much like them and shared a similar set of values to their outlook on how to build a business and how to treat people. And these four just got together over lunch one day and said, why don't we set aside one day every quarter that we go off someplace, just the four of us, no one else, and have a mutual accountability session in which we each share where we are in our companies, in our family life, in our personal development, and we then lay out what our plans are for the next 60 to 90 days in those areas of our personal and professional lives. And then when we come back together, we'll hold one another accountable for how well we followed through on the commitments we made in the previous group. That group met for years, decades, and each of these men went on to be proverbially wealthy because of the strength of that accountability that was going on within their circle.
So how often do they meet? How many months do they usually last as well?
It, again, varies widely. Many groups meet only once a month or in some cases once a quarter. Most meet at least once a month, and increasingly I'm aware of groups that meet twice a month. I happen to be in a group that meets every week for an hour, and we have a very focused agenda. It's a virtual call, and we spend time talking about the marketing of businesses of our type and our size, and the facilitator is one of the top authorities on that subject in the United States, and gives us tremendous feedback as we share the issues that we're facing and how we are going about addressing those issues. So it depends. It's like any other endeavor. The frequency of the meetings and the length of the meetings depends on what the design of the program is intended to accomplish. And so there is no ironclad template that everyone follows. One group that I'm tangential to, I'm a good friend of a lot of people in the group, but not in the group myself. has been particularly effective using what is called a hybrid approach. And that is they meet virtually once a month for about a 90-minute or two-hour session. And then either once a quarter or once every 6 months, they all travel to some resort area and spend 2 or 3 days together in an intense peer group setting. And the reason for that arrangement is that these people are scattered all over the country, in fact, into other countries. And so they can meet virtually every month, but it would be prohibitively expensive and very complex to bring them all together monthly. So they meet virtually on a monthly basis, but once a quarter or once every 6 months, they then go someplace that they can be away from the demands of their job, their business, their personal life, and just focus on whatever it is that they are using the mastermind group to help them accomplish.
Would you say there's a typical agenda for mastermind meetings?
Only from the standpoint that, as I mentioned a while ago, most of these mastermind groups use a hot seat approach. It may not be at the first of the meeting. It may be well into it. I was a consultant to a mastermind group 20 years ago that was made up of a group of entrepreneurs who had businesses of a certain size. And that's one of the ways these mastermind groups will often come together. We're looking for people who have a startup that's less than 5 years old. Or we're looking for participants whose businesses gross $20 million to $50 million a year. Those kinds of limitations are sometimes, and quite frequently, put on who can be part of the group. Well, this was a group of businesses that were established. They were family businesses, and the person who had founded it wanted it to become a family business that passed to his or her children. They were not building the business to sell it to some conglomerate. They really treasured the value of family businesses that were financially successful but still had that family feel to the culture within the company. And so they would come together once a month for about 6 hours. And one of the criteria that they had, it's not necessary at all, but one of their criteria was that no two members of the group could come from the same general industry. Not because they were afraid of stealing ideas, but because they wanted the cross-fertilization of ideas. They wanted to hear how someone in a completely different industry is tackling the same problem I am. So that I can get some ideas that I might never get if I talked only to people who are in the same kind of business I am, doing the same kind of thing I am. So they needed a longer meeting time because in the course of their meetings, everybody was on the hot seat for a while. And because they were coming from different industries, there were many times they had to explain things about the situation they were facing that might not be immediately apparent to the group. So as a result, you think through as the facilitator what you want your group to accomplish overall and what you want people to take away from every session, and then that begins to determine how often you meet, whether you meet virtually or in person or in a hybrid, or how much there is instruction and training as part of it, or how much it's just pure discussion, and whether we have one person who takes the hot seat, or whether multiple people take the hot seat, or whether everybody takes the hot seat in the course of a meeting.
Do mastermind groups usually charge a fee to participate?
Almost all do. It's pretty important for the participants to have skin in the game. I'm in some that the skin is something that smaller businesses can afford a couple of $100 a month to participate. And there is some overhead in running these things. The facilitator is going to have some cost. And there are many people out there who do nothing but facilitate mastermind groups. And so they are actually drawing a salary from this service they're providing. And people who are doing that are then going to have fees in their groups that are somewhat substantial. In fact, there are mastermind groups out there that people are paying $60,000, $70,000 a year to be part of. Most are not there, but that shows you how valuable the very senior executives have found mastermind groups to be, that they would put that kind of money into being part of a group of peers who are at a level where they too see that as a worthwhile investment. But most typically, mastermind groups are going to be priced at a level that's affordable for the people who are being invited into the group. You don't want to make it so exclusive that it's really a stretch for anyone who is within the demographic that you're targeting for your participants to come from, too expensive for them, the typical person in that demographic, to participate. But there is a fee. It varies widely, as my answer implies.
Now, can you join a mastermind group that's already established, already in progress, or do you have to join it at the outset, at the very beginning?
The typical rule is that you cannot join in progress. And one of the reasons for that is that the mastermind group is going to be developing its own culture. There are issues they're going to deal with this month and again next month and again next month, and they are developing, shall I say, an approach, an understanding of this ongoing issue they're talking about that they build their conversations on and around as they go to the next chapter of the conversation. So it's very difficult to integrate someone into the group 3 or 4 or 5 months into a conversation that has gone on all that period of time and not have to spend a lot of time backfilling the information that they need in order to be a participant and a contributor to the group. Keep in mind, this is not just a participation group. This is a contributor group. You're being asked in this peer-to-peer network to contribute to helping everyone in that room be better at what they are doing. And so most groups say, join it first. If you want to be part of a group like this, we have plans at such and such a date to start another group. You're certainly welcome to be part of that group. And I would say that probably fewer than 20% that I know of allow people to join in progress. Now, I'm part of a group that people do join in progress, and that works very well for the design of what we are about. But most groups, particularly those that are only going to run for a year, which is a typical cycle, most of them say, join at the first or wait until another group takes shape later on.
Really fascinating today, learning about how mastermind groups actually function. Next week's episode, we'll be talking about, as we're chatting with Dr. Michael Armour through the month of November, and then we'll be doing so in December as well, finding the ideal mastermind group for yourself is the title of next week's episode. So sort of laid the groundwork down on this episode of how the groups work and now how you can find the ideal mastermind group for yourself. Dr. Mike will give us the resources and information on how to do that. Dr. Mike, best ways that people can make contact with you?
My primary website is leaderperfect.com. That's the website for my company, Strategic Leadership Development International, and provides a comprehensive description of the services that I and my team members provide. There's also my professional speaking website, which is keynotesandmore.com, and my current podcast website, upsizeyourleadership.com. So in addition to this podcast, I do that one on a weekly basis. And for those people who are looking specifically for topics related to leadership functions, I would commend that site to them.
Dr. Mike, it's always a pleasure chatting with you here on Close Up Radio. Thanks again for all of the rich detail and content, and looking forward to the conversation next week as well as we explore more about this incredible and very valuable topic about mastermind groups. Always the best, and looking forward to next week as well. Thanks for joining us on this episode today.
I'm glad to be part of it. I look forward to our next conversation.
And you have a wonderful Veterans Day weekend coming up as well to you and yours.
Thank you very much. Do the same.
You're very well. Thank you very much. Dr. Michael Armour, he'll be back with us on the 20th, and we look forward to that, continuing the conversation in the month of November as well. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time on Close Up Radio, we thank Dr. Mike, and we thank you. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more great conversation and guests coming up in just a moment on Close Up Radio. For all of us here, this is Jim Masters. Thanks, be well, and we'll chat again soon on Close Up Radio Live.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.